So, it's Christmas. And isn't Christmas just different from any other day, any other holiday? There's no other day as built up or anticipated than Christmas. Like, we put it kind of at the end of our calendar, and I don't know exactly why it's December 25th, the last day, one of the last days of the last month, but it feels like the climax of the movie, almost. Like, the whole year has built up to this day. The friends that you're surrounded by, the family that you're surrounded by, it's all built up towards Christmas. As adults, we try to find adult ways to rationalize why we love Christmas so much. It's the memories. Every year brings new memories, and every year you remember the past Christmases, the time with families, the presents you got. I love the spirit. I love the Christmas spirit. I love the movies and the music and the lights and just everyone's so festive. Everyone's so great during Christmas. Or, you know, it's great to get together with family and friends. It's great to get together with people that we love on Christmas and be together. That's how we rationalize why we love Christmas. Last week, I asked my junior high Sunday school class, the middle schoolers here at the church, would you rather lose every holiday except for Christmas, or keep every other holiday, keep Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Halloween, but lose Christmas? So you get Christmas, lose every other holiday, or lose Christmas, keep every other holiday. I asked the junior highers that. Almost unanimously, throughout the class, we would rather lose every single other holiday and keep Christmas. And I asked them, why? Why would you rather keep Christmas? And the answer was simple. The gifts. I mean, come on, that's why we love Christmas, isn't it? It's the presents, it's the gifts. And the junior hires are just saying something we as adults are scared to say, aren't they? We look forward to presents. There is nothing like shopping for someone and hunting down through the store that perfect present for someone. Or one of my favorite feelings is seeing something, someone you're not even thinking about, but seeing something and going, man, they would love that. That would be the perfect gift for them. Just buying it for someone because you know that would bring someone joy. Also, you have the reaction to gifts. Oh man, this is what I wanted. I needed this. I didn't even know I needed this, but you got it for me. And then one of the greatest feelings, the ultimate part of Christmas for many of us in this room, getting the present, right? Getting the gift. What did I get for Christmas? Did I send the right clues into my group of friends? Are my subtle hints paying off? Did my letter to Santa get read? Even receiving a gift that you weren't expecting or really wanting kind of tells you about the people around you and your life. It's revealing. Gifts are awesome. Presents are awesome. And we don't have to, let's get this off of ourselves, right? Let's get this off of our shoulders. We don't have to feel selfish or tacky to admit that getting a gift is really, really cool. There is something within our DNA, possibly placed there by God, that tells us that receiving gifts is a great thing, is an awesome thing. And I would say this is probably because when it comes to giving gifts, no one has ever outgiven God. I know for many of you in this Christmas morning that the only thing between you and receiving your gifts is the length of my sermon. And I took that into consideration when I wrote this. Can I just say the only difference between you and your ability to receive the gifts that God has given you is your ability to recognize it? I would like to take our minds away from what is under the Christmas tree or what is in your stockings and move our mindset into what God has given us. The many, many, many gifts from God. It will take a while to list. You guys better get comfortable. Let's start from the beginning, and I mean the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first gift that we can note from God is seen in the first words of the Bible. God created our home. Imagine for Christmas someone bought you a house or a lifetime supply of healthy and nutritious food. someone gave you for Christmas, an environment that you could thrive in. Any of these gifts individually would be the greatest gift we've ever received. And God has given all of that to humanity. God didn't just create a world for us that we could survive in. He created a self-sustaining, beautifully looking home that gives us all we need for and more to live a life that we can thrive in. This isn't just a world we can that's for survival, right? Like, God could have placed us on the moon, just this desolate wasteland with nothing to do. God could have made our bodies compatible with Mars, this terrible planet that you could not live in. Matt Damon proved that in a movie, I think. But Genesis 1:31 tells us God saw all that he was made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God created this world that didn't have war, didn't have diseases, didn't have pain. I mean, all that stuff's in the world now, but he didn't put it there. He didn't give that to us. The violence that we're a part of, the carelessness and the sinfulness, that came through humanity. God gave us, in his eyes, a good and perfect home as a gift. And we can't stay on any one gift too long. Let's move on and recognize that there are even more gifts from God. Genesis 1:26 through 30. You guys are like, he is not moving through the Bible very quickly. He's still in Genesis. Genesis 1:26 through 30. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts on the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. There's a lot in terms of gifts to break down in these verses. One thing that stands out is that we have dominion over the earth as people. Like, God not only created our home, but he has given it to humanity as a gift. Like, this is ours, which once again informs us that when we believe the world is a bad place, that might be our fault. More than this, though, but we were created, which has become one of the most important things I talk to young people about. There are very serious people that go around and tell everyone, but a lie that many people have started to believe, that they exist for no reason at all. That humanity, that you were an accident. There is no reason for you to live. There is nothing for you great to accomplish. And the Bible tells us the complete opposite. Humanity was created. What does this tell us? What gift is this? Anything that is created has purpose. So God, through creating us, not only gave us existence, but gave us purpose as a gift. And then we see these words, "Let us create him in our image. And to this day, theologians might debate about the meaning of these words. Let us create man in our image. Some people might go, "Oh, well, God just probably looks like humans, and we have like distinct features that are alike." Or Christian philosophy has kind of talked about how the distinct feature that humans have over animals is that we can kind of think further and we can create. So maybe whenever God said, "Let us make man in our image," like we are free creators, we are free thinkers. Humans have this distinct sort of free will that animals don't have. Like, beavers make dams, bees make honey. They're driven by instinct in what they do. Humans, we do whatever we want, right? We might work one day, we might rest another day. We just kind of do whatever we want. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's what it means to be created in God's image, is we have the ability to do the things that we want to do. Regardless of what this means on a deeper level, though, we can all agree on what this initially means. If we're created in God's image, in the image of the Most High, in the image of the King, humans have value. All humans, inherently, upon birth, have value. If something is created in the image of God, it has value. I believe we are currently in a crisis of all people, but I primarily work in young people. There's a lack of purpose, identity, and feelings of value. People will turn to technology, their work, sex, drugs, different social groups that encourage unnatural practices. They'll try to find fulfillment in all of these things. Many of these young people fill their time with godlessness and sin. I would say this is why we are in a suicide epidemic, maybe, is because of these feelings of lack of value, of lack of purpose. This Christmas, you may have the opportunity today, or maybe you had it yesterday, maybe you'll have it over the next couple days. You'll have the opportunity to meet with some people that feel this way, that feel this lack of value, that feel this lack of purpose. My encouragement to you is don't try to outgive God. You can't wrap a present that is more meaningful than the message that God created you with a purpose and created you with value. You're going to have the opportunity to tell someone who needs to hear that this over the next couple days. Don't lose that time. Don't buy them a gift that will not fulfill them the way that God can fulfill them. So, we've established that if you are a human that exists, which is everyone in this room, then the gift, these are the gifts that you have received: a world to have dominion over, an existence with inherent value, and a creation with a purpose. Those are gifts that you've received from God. Even if you don't know God, you still have those gifts. Even if you've rejected them, even if you can't recognize the purpose, you still have those gifts. But let's move on to us as believers in Christ. There are so many more gifts available to us. I truly believe if you are a Christian, you must believe we are the most blessed people on earth. I want this to be like the ending of It's a Wonderful Life. You have this character that is just down on their luck. He's upset. He's unaware of how blessed he is. Like, that's kind of the theme of the movie, is he's poured into this town. He has this dead-end job. His house is falling apart, and he might end up in prison soon. And so he's very down on everything that he has. The ending of the movie, and this is one of the few movies that actually like get me a little choked up. The ending of this movie is his brother calling him the richest man in town. Like, staring him in the eyes and telling him that, like Merry Christmas to the richest man in town. Like, this man was unable to realize how blessed he was because he was looking at kind of the bad situations he was in when he was one of the most blessed men in the town. We as Christians, oftentimes, I think we see ourselves as these walking targets that the world wants to throw rocks at and kick in the ribs. There is truth to the fact that we as Christians, we face persecution and sometimes hatred for our lifestyle, but if we believe we are sons and daughters of the King, we have to live like we believe that. This should be our prayer whenever we desire more than the gifts that God has given us. Psalms 141:4, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Oftentimes we look at the world and we go, man, I wish I could sleep in on Sunday. Man, I wish that I could do that thing without feeling that I was sinful. Man, I wish that I could, I don't know. We look at the world and sometimes we desire what the world has. And pray this prayer: do not let me eat of the world's delicacies. God, keep me from desiring an evil lifestyle. We should be happy to live a life that seems unfulfilling to the wicked. I saw a tweet from a celebrity that said something along the lines of, imagine having a whole day off and using it to go to church. I think that's sometimes how Christians think. Like, oh man, I have this day off and I have to go to church for some of that time. Godless, sinful, wicked, evil people will never see how great the gifts of God are. They'll never realize how great the gifts that we have are. If you have a hard time recognizing how great and how blessed your life is because of what God has given you, that might be a heart issue. That might be something you got to deal with because you are so blessed to live this life that the world doesn't want. You are so blessed to get the things that the giver has given you. Here's some gifts that we have. The first one, let me read some verses here. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Acts 2, 46 through 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is the believers. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of the main gifts God has given us, we're enjoying it right now, is our church family. The fellowship of believers, the community that is wholly unique from any other in the world. In this family, we have clear leadership from elders and pastors. In this family, we have friends that can hold us accountable. We have friends that can help us in life. We can carry each other's burdens. We're given regular meeting times. We have people to celebrate with and people to mourn with. The church is one of the greatest gifts God has given humanity, but is exclusively used by Christians. The church has also given many people the ability to find people to bless. As we have this mission team getting ready to go to Arizona, that is because of the church. We identify where we can go and bless people. It gives many people the opportunity to be God's hands and feet. In the church, many people's talents are turned into ministries where we are able to do meaningful things. I know many people in this room are blessed by the church every single day. Along with the church, we also have God's word, the scriptures. Here's a couple verses on that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Like, we have this great book from God that is good for all these things. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. These words are eternal. These words are eternally true. In the Bible, we have God's commands, wisdom, the way he directed his people over thousands of years. We have his vision and desire for the world. And here's the thing. It might not always feel like it, but the Bible is clear. It's not always easy to understand because our hearts are rebellious and sinful, but I believe the Bible is way more clear than we make it out to be sometimes. It's our sword and our battle, our key to understanding God and the world and even ourselves. And the people who can understand it and translate it, they're us. We're the ones who understand it. We're the ones that know it and can translate it and can understand it. It's God's gift to us as believers. I don't know if you all noticed, but the sports world was recently hijacked by a terrible thing called the World Cup. Did you guys keep up with this? For about a week, people acted like they cared about and even liked soccer. It was really weird. People I had never seen bring up soccer one time were like, man, this Argentina game's really tight. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you all doing watching soccer once? I've tried to watch soccer. It's a painfully boring sport. I'm sorry if you're a big fan. And I've tried to talk to soccer fans before and be like, listen, we can do better. We can make this a better thing. For instance, more breaks. I need bathroom breaks so that I don't miss one of the two scores in the game. Like let's get to commercial, let's call more timeouts, whatever it takes. More quarters or innings. Like, baseball's good with that. They have lots of innings so I can leave and not miss a score. Like, that would be great. Another thing that I would like is, like, if plays were easy to follow. Like, I see him kicking a ball. He's going to be doing that in 15 minutes. Is this a play, or is he just running around the field? I'm not sure what's going on. If you were able to use more than three body parts, that would be great. If players were allowed to tackle, throwing that out there. If the games weren't filled with fake injuries, I think that would be big for us. All these things would make a more enjoyable sport, in my opinion. Soccer fans will always reject any of these suggestions. Soccer fans don't want to hear from football fans about how to create a better sport, even though our sport is better. They enjoy what their sport is, and will talk among each other about about any changes that they want, but they're not including other fan bases in these changes. And even though I think soccer is boring and I did not watch a single minute of the World Cup, I didn't even watch a highlight reel because I imagine it's just more kicking a ball in a grass field. There was something cool about how it brought the world together. There was definitely a community there. It was definitely something that people across the world enjoyed. And I wish that, in a sense, I wish that football kind of had that as well, where I could smack talk like Asian people about it. I don't know. Like, soccer fans have that. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Anyway, we only get that during the Olympics. I'm just saying. Anyway, I don't know. This isn't in any of my notes. My point being that soccer fans enjoy what they have. Soccer fans enjoy the sport that they've created, the community that they've created, and that they have. And I am invited to watch it, enjoy it, or leave and shut up, which I probably should have done a while ago. Here's the thing. When non-Christians tell Christians what our religion should look like, you're invited to watch it, enjoy it, be a part of it, or leave. We don't need an outsider, a humanist, an atheist, a Buddhist telling us how to do our religion. Like, no. God made it pretty clear. Like, we're going to do this thing. If you don't want to be a part of that, if you don't like that, we'd love for you to be a part of it. We'd love for you to be a part of the family, but we're not going to change what we do because of your opinions on the thing. This is a beautiful thing that we have. This is a beautiful religion that we have. And God's made it clear what it's supposed to look like, how it's supposed to be laid out. And we're going to reject human opinion on the thing before we reject God's word. We also have the gift of prayer. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Prayer is the gift of a constant connection with God. At no point are we unable to go to him. At no point are we unable to make a request of God. We are invited into the throne room of the richest, greatest, most powerful, and generous king of all time. That's pretty cool. How often do we refuse to use this gift? How often do we reject this gift? I know I don't use prayer enough. And the thing is, God's like, wanting me to come to him and make requests of him. God is asking us in the Bible, please ask for something. Please ask me to do something. I want to be a part of your life. He wants to know our hearts. He wants to communicate his heart to us. There are more gifts than just these. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, I mean, I don't have enough time to explain the Holy Spirit. It's God inside of us, requesting to direct us and move us, to convict us and change us. He's trying to get us to go where God wants us to go. The Holy Spirit living inside of us. And through the Holy Spirit, we have like spiritual gifts. And I'm not just calling these spiritual gifts. Like the Bible calls these things gifts that we have. 1 Corinthians 2:4 through 11. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who appoints to each one individually as he wills. God has given us the gift of prophecy, miracles, healing. These are spiritual gifts that he wants us to use, that he's given us, some of us, as he's appointed, the ability to use. And there are many, many, many more gifts. So we need to recognize why we have these gifts. Like, why has God given us so much? And for starters, to be able to bless people. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Here would be a good test for parents. Maybe do this next year. You guys have probably already bought some really good gifts for your kids. Can your kid use the gifts that you buy them to serve someone else? Just think about that. Are the gifts that we're buying for people gifts that encourage selfishness? Encourage, maybe not selfishness, but just like a self-mindset? The Bible says the gifts that we're given, use it to serve one another. Can we say that the gifts that we're giving to people can be used to help someone else down the line? That would be a good barometer for our gifts. I'm just throwing that out there. I didn't get my kid any gifts this year, so I can't speak to that. When we recognize the gifts God has given us, it opens up our arsenal of ability to serve others. When you recognize that you have been blessed with the Holy Spirit, with the Bible, with prayer, that opens up your ability to serve others. We have the church, scripture, spirits, and gifts. We're not supposed to be that servant that Jesus talks about in the parable who goes and he gets the talent and he just buries it. And he's like, I'm not going to do anything with this talent. I'm not going to do anything with this ability. No, no. God has given us our talents. God has given us our abilities to go and serve and make disciples and be disciples. Another reason for all the gifts is for God to show that he is continually with us and in us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is one of the last things Jesus says to his followers. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And what's the last thing he says to them? Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is leaving. He's going, surely I am with you. And they're like, no, 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 you're leaving. Like, how are you with us? Well, he's given us God's word. So his words are with us. He's given us the body of Christ. The church is referred to as the body of Christ. So God's body is with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. God's spirit is with us. He's given us prayer so we can communicate with God. Jesus gave us all these gifts to show, hey, you're not alone in this world. You're not alone in the mission to bring in more disciples. I have given you all these gifts to show that you are continually forever with me. And I am forever with you. And this brings us to one more gift, our last gift that we're going to talk about today. If there are any big Christmas fans in this room, you probably realized I've missed something kind of major. I'm just going to read the Christmas story, if you all don't mind. I'm going to read Luke 1, 26 through 38, and then Luke 2, 1 through 21. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Luke 2, 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. All these gifts from God, they're heaven on earth. They're God with us. From the creation of the world to this moment, December 25th, 2022, I can't think of a greater gift than the one that came to Bethlehem that night. Heaven on earth, God with us. God was born a human. He would live a life revealing to us how blessed it is to live in full recognition, submission to, and in honor of God's word, using the gifts of God to serve others and bless the world. He would then do something crazy. The perfect Lamb of God would die as our sacrifice for the sins that we committed, the sacrifice that could atone for those sins, the sins of the world. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The ultimate gift, forgiveness, atonement, grace, love, a new covenant with God, all through his son Jesus, born to us in Bethlehem, celebrated today on Christmas. As I encouraged you earlier, my goal today is not to try to outgive God, but to offer you the gift that he does every single day. If you came here this morning and kind of got dragged to church by your family, if there's a rule in your house you don't get to open presents until after church, simply put, if you are at church right now and Christ is not your Lord, I am very happy that you are here. I am very happy that you got to hear about the greatest gift humanity has ever received in Jesus. I can say with all the confidence that I have that you will not receive a better gift today than the one that you can receive right now, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you would like to have a conversation with someone here, maybe the family that brought you or maybe the leadership here, we would love to meet with you and help you begin the journey of accepting him as Lord, believing that he is alive and is the one true God, and being baptized and receiving his Spirit. I would love for you to prayerfully consider that before you leave here. For the rest of us in this room, I promise you, you're about to leave soon. You're about to hang out with family and friends and have an awesome Christmas, opening the many gifts that you got and seeing the many gifts that you got for others opened. You're going to eat some great food. You're going to have an awesome celebration. I pray that the conversations around your household, around the dinner table, are more focused on the reason that we celebrate than the gifts, than anything else. The reason that Christmas is so great for me as a Christian, and the reason that I celebrate, is because of Jesus' sacrifice, his life, death, and resurrection. And this brings us to the present that Lanesville Christian Church has prepared for you. This gift is simultaneously ancient and modern. It's something you've had 1,000 times maybe, but it's something that is brand new. If the reason for the season is truly Jesus, then we should enter into that communion with Jesus throughout this season. So here's how we're going to wrap up service. As you all have seen and maybe been eyeing this whole service, there are some presents up here. These are for you all. Maybe you are here by yourself or with a group of friends. I've seen plenty of families come in here together that are here. I'm going to pray here in a little bit, and after I pray, I want to invite up the leader of these groups of friends of each family to come up here and grab one of these Christmas bags and take them back to whoever you're here with, whether it be families, a group of friends, or just you by yourself. If you're here as an individual, I would encourage you maybe look around for a few other individuals and take it back to them. So, in this gift is three things. First, a plastic cup. This cup represents the fact that we spent money on other items, or the budget has finally ran out for the year. One of those two. Another thing in the bag, though, is a bottle of grape juice. This is the juice that we here at Lanesville have chosen to use for communion. This represents to us the blood of Jesus. Jesus used wine at the Last Supper. He poured it out into a cup, and he says, "This is my blood poured out for you." Jesus might have come to earth as a baby, but he turns into a man who gets whipped, pierced, and stabbed for our sake. The final thing in your bag is a piece of bread. This bread represents to us the body of Christ, beaten, broken, carrying a cross for us. Whenever the leaders come up here, what you'll do is you'll take it back to your group, you'll get into this bag of great things, and you'll share this communion together as a family, as friends. Take it as an individual. The leader who went up and got it will take the juice, pour it into the cup, and hold it in one hand, and take the bread out of the bag and hold it in the other hand, and invite those in their family, in their group, whoever they're with, to come up, tear off a piece of bread, and dip it in the juice, take it, and then remember Jesus. Maybe remember the baby that came, innocent, weak. Remember the man who did miracles, who taught. Remember the sacrifice that was bruised, bloody, and broken for us. Take a time and think about the birthday boy, Jesus, who loved you, created you, gave you purpose and value, gave you his words, has given you a connection of prayer, given you a family of a church. Remember him during this time. I would also encourage you, if some of you all are next to families with many more kids in hands than there are adults, go ahead and take this communion as two families. The last thing I want to say is, pour the juice back into the bottle when you're done. Take the bread you have left and put it back in the bag. And take this gift to your Christmas celebration. Invite your aunt and uncle, your grandma and grandpa, your niece or nephew, or your children. If the reason that we are celebrating Christmas is really about Jesus, then maybe today isn't, this next few minutes isn't the last time you take communion. We should be doing this later today, remembering him the way that he has told us to remember him, not just through gifts or songs or time with family. The way he has desired to be remembered, the way he told us, was through communion. If we have extra bags, I would also encourage you guys to take some with you to celebrate communion again and again through this Christmas time. So I'm going to pray, And then I believe I've given clear instructions on how we will take communion during this time. We'll come up here, grab a bag, take communion as individuals, as friends, as family, celebrating Jesus, remembering him the way that he has desired.